Glenn Tilbrook, a warm welcome to BBC Radio Suffolk.
Well, it's very good to be here. It's painless to find, easy to park, and lovely to walk in. And now I'm sitting here and I'm feeling quite relaxed and fantastic.
And you brought your guitar with you as well.
Yep.
Play us a couple of songs a bit later.
I will be indeed.
You are certainly no stranger to Ipswich, are you? You've played here many times with Squeeze in some interesting venues.
That's right. Well, we were at Portman Road with Brian Adams many years ago, which was a complete... It was a laugh, actually. I remember we wore white boiler suits on that tour because we felt so out of place with the rest of the lineup that we decided to alienate ourselves from ourselves. But we had a lot of laughs on that tour. But I must admit that perhaps not many people know this, but whenever I come to Ipswich, the first person I think of is Dave Lee Travis. Because we did a Radio 1 show with him about 8 years ago when he was doing that sort of darts quiz thing. And I can't remember the pub that we did it from.
I think it was the Suffolk Punch down Norwich Road.
Fantastic. Yeah.
What okay. A memory.
That was good. I enjoyed that. There was me and Chris there playing in the corner. But most vivid is my memory of getting up and having breakfast with DLT. You see, we used to rub shoulders with all the greats. And him flirting outrageously with the waitress. I couldn't believe that he was flirting in quite such a brazen manner. And all the people who worked with him obviously knew this went on all the time because they took no notice. And I was, you know, my jaw nearly hit the floor. Dave Lee Travis, I never knew you were such a brazen hussy.
The hairy cornflake in action.
Yeah.
You didn't learn much from him in that respect, I shouldn't
have. No, I didn't. I still got a lot to learn.
You played at the Regent Theatre on many occasions with Squeeze, and I think
that's
the
right.
First time you played would be back in the 70s, in the early days, when I think I'm right in saying the Radio Stars and Eddie and the Hot Rods would have been on the same bill.
That's right, yeah, well, there we were nestling at the bottom of the bill, but that meant, you know, early start for us, early to bed, we got our sleep. And it was a good tour, actually, that tour. We got on very well with Eddie and the Hot Rods, and for some reason it was a bit like, I think we were all sort of young lads of one sort or another, and Eddie and the Hot Rods and ourselves took to each other, and we sort of ganged up on Radio Stars. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I remember the bass player was a bit poncy. And so we didn't like him much. But we had a tremendous amount of fun playing tricks on them. You know, schoolboy humour, as we always had. It's yet to leave me, still.
And you were soon playing in the States.
We were, yes. We'd, in fact, with Squeeze, we made a point of touring America. I think we've toured America nearly as many times as we've toured over here. And it's been the only other sort of territory in the world that we've visited regularly. So we have a sort of core following over there, which is great. You know, it was my dream from childhood was to go to America. And we finally toured there in 1978 when we had our first album out. And it was everything that I hoped it would be, which was a fantastic experience for a 20-year-old. Boy, I was in. A boy, a mere boy.
Is my memory serving me right when I say that you were known as UK Squeeze over there?
That's right, yeah, we were. There was a bar band in Philadelphia called Squeeze, and I got one of their posters, actually. It was fun. They all had long hair and were sweating a lot, which is a bit like me, except I've got short hair and I sweat a lot. But, yeah, so I got one of their posters, and they said that, you know, they'd been playing around the Philadelphia area for a few years, so we couldn't be called Squeeze. So then we were UK Squeeze for a couple of albums, and then we quietly dropped the UK, and it all seemed to be all right. We didn't hear any more from them, so I presume they're quite happily retired now.
And Squeeze never looked back after those early days, had a lot of success in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm.
Are you still together as a band?
No, we're not. No, we sort of gradually dissolved in a Star Trek-like pile of dust towards the end. The last Squeeze album we had out was Domino 2 years ago, and we did a tour around the UK for that, which was fantastic. At the end of that ended sort of around about Christmas time. And we'd booked to go to America on a tour, and Chris Difford pulled out of the tour the day before we were due to go, which was a bit of a shock. So we did the tour as a four-piece in America, and then spoke to Chris when he got back, and he didn't fancy touring anymore. He just really got to the point where it wasn't fun for him, which was, it's a great shame, but, you know, equally, if he's not enjoying it, it's not fun anyway, you know, so... we did some support dates with Blondie because that was too good an opportunity to miss to try and plug our album as Squeeze, as a four-piece. But really beyond that, I've got no interest in carrying on as the last bloke left standing in the band, you know. So, echoes of Les Gray's Mud and whoever else is basically Rollers, you know.
Yeah, it's just, it can get a bit sad, can't it?
Well, I think, you know, I've got lots left in me that I want to do. I've got lots to give. And, you know, Chris leaving, to me, was the, you know, said, OK, well, that's the end of that particular chapter of your life. As long and as happy as it's been for me, you know, it's time to move on and do my new fantastic solo work.
Is the Difford-Tilbrook relationship over then?
No, I wouldn't say it's over. I'd say it's just it's put on hold for a while. I think Chris and I will always work together in some capacity or other. I think the main thing is that we enjoy it. I think, you know, we certainly enjoy writing together. And making records can be challenging because we're normally at the opposite ends of the spectrum. But that's what keeps, you know, our record making interesting, I think. The fact that we don't agree on everything. So, yeah, I don't know quite how, but I'm sure we will do stuff together.
You haven't fallen out then?
No, definitely not, no.
Good to hear that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you're out solo now.
I am.
And you've got a new CD out, a single, which we'll be playing a bit later on the programme. But you've got your guitar with you, and you've got another new song to play for us in the studio.
Yes, I have. I'm going to play this song, which is actually it's one of the last I've written for my record, which with a very cunning timing was planned to coincide with this tour, but with not such cunning timing, I haven't actually finished the record yet, so it's not available. But it's going to be on it, and this song is called This Is Where You Ain't.
Okay.
Okay. This is Where You Ain't.
Shit has stayed. It's a challenge to know how to feel, but the end result's the same as this is now the deal. This is where we had some fun, and this is where we play. But now the fact I have to face is that this is where you ain't. This is where you slept at night. Where we ate. These everyday things have stopped now because this is where you ate. When you were leaving, the way you helped me told me all I needed to know. Feel the same way about saying goodbye. It's crap, and then you go. But the ghosts of you are all around, and I like them being here with me. But until the next time, I'll be seeing you in my dreams. This is where we had some fun. Where we play. These everyday things have stopped now because this is where you ain't. This is where you slept at night. This is where we ate. Now the fact I have to face is that this is where you ain't.
That's Glenn Tilbrook playing live here on BBC Radio Suffolk. This is Where You Ain't, a new song of his, which will appear on his forthcoming album. Glenn, going out solo with just you and your guitar, everything obviously stripped bare musically, really. When you're playing the old numbers, and you do play a lot of the squeeze hits, when you're playing them on stage, do you think back to how they sounded originally and try and recreate parts of the originals?
No, not really. It's got to be, you know, I think the song is a springboard for an interpretation. I mean, in a while, the second song I'd like to play for you is Take Me, I'm Yours, which bears some resemblance to the original, but not much. There wasn't an acoustic guitar on the original, and everything else that was there isn't there, except for my vocal. But it's, you know, the thing to me is that the songs, luckily for us, stand up, played in that sort of environment. And, you know, I don't want to do anything else except have fun with it and make it enjoyable for me and everyone else. And I think that I've done sufficient gigs to manage to do that.
You've worked with some well-known people over the years, haven't you? People like Elvis Costello, Ron Sexsmith, I think one of his songs, you worked with him on your forthcoming album.
Collaborated
with him. That's obviously something that you're very keen on doing. You know, keeps you fresh, presumably, as well.
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, when I started out writing for my album, I spent about 3 months trying to write on my own, and it was actually a very painful process because I kept on writing a load of rubbish, and I knew it was rubbish, and I couldn't get by it. You know, I couldn't get past it. That first song that you always rely on to sort of give things a kickstart didn't arrive. So I collaborated with a few people, Ron Sexsmith and Amy Mann, people like Nick Harper and Ben Jones and Chris Braid. And I got a few songs written, and that sort of relaxed me about writing on my own. I just sort of felt the pressure was off me. And from that point, I started writing some stuff that wasn't rubbish and I actually was very pleased with. But it took a while to get going. It always does take a while for me to get going.
Let's talk about your songwriting partnership with Chris Difford very briefly. When you think of two songwriters together, I mean, people always think of Lennon and McCartney and the fact they never actually wrote together. Did you and Chris write together?
Very, very rarely, although not quite in the same way as Lennon and McCartney would do bits and pieces of songs, both lyrics and music, whereas with Chris and I, it was almost always delineated in the way that Chris would do lyrics and I would do music. He would write the lyrics first and give them to me. And that was the way, when we first met, we were both writing songs individually, but, you know, our strongest areas were Chris's lyrics and my music. So we wrote one song together, the gloriously titled Hotel Woman, I remember it was called, and we were pleased enough with the result to carry on writing. And because for the first 3 years that we were together, we had a total of, I think, 3 gigs, we didn't have a lot else to do, so we just spent a lot of time in our bedrooms writing songs. And that's really, you know, we wrote loads and loads of songs at that point, and that's where we, you know, developed this sort of strong partnership, which was always about not working together, you know, in the same room.
The song that gave you your big break as Squeeze was Take Me, I'm Yours.
Now, yes, as I mentioned earlier on, it was the song that gave us our big break. We'd recorded another version of it, which, thank goodness, it didn't come out. No, I sort of went into falsetto. The original tune went, I've come across the desert to greet you with a smile, my camel looks so... So thank goodness that one didn't come out. And we were a bit of a loose end when we'd recorded the album, our first album, which had John Cale producing. The record company said, well, there isn't a single on this. So we said, well, look, we've got this song. If you let us just go in and do it ourselves with John Wood Engineering. So we did that, and Take Me, I'm Yours as a result. Of course, it sounded absolutely nothing like this acoustic version, which I am about to play right now.
This is Glenn Tilbrook playing live on BBC Radio Suffolk, and Take Me, I'm Yours.
The desert to greet you with a smile. My camel looks so tired, it's hardly worth my while to tell you of my travels across the Golden East. I see your preparations, invite me first to feast. Take me, I'm yours, because dreams are made of this. Forever there'll be a heaven in your care. Amusing belly dancers distract me from my wine. Across the bed and mountains, memories of mine. I stood some ghostly moments with natives in the hills. Recorded here on paper, my chills and thrills and spills. Take me,
It's really been so welcome, you never seem to change. A grape to tempt your leisure, romantic gesture strange. My eagle flies tomorrow, it's a game I treasure. Dare to seek the helpless future, my love at last, I'm here. Take me, I'm yours, because dreams are made of this. Forever there'll be a heaven in your kiss.
Glenn, some pretty nifty guitar work on that.
Well, you know, I've had a lot of time to sit around and practice, so, yeah, gradually the guitar playing gets better and better and better, and I'm very inspired by the likes of Nick Harper, who I can only dream of playing like. But, yeah, I've got my own thing there with the guitar, and I like it.
When you're playing such an intricate style of guitar, do you worry that you're about to hit a bum note any moment?
Nope. No, I don't. No, I can't worry about that. It's like, I was watching this program the other night, Ruby Wax program, had Eddie Izzard on, and he was saying about the fear of drying up on stage, and he said something that's very right, and that is that if you think about that, that's actually the way that leads to drying up, whereas if you just don't even give it a thought, and it's a sort of trick that you can play on yourself by deliberately not thinking about that sort of thing. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong, you know, but very rarely, fortunately, it does.
Yeah, I suppose you don't want to get too blasé, but at the same time, you don't want to be worrying about things, do you?
No. If you worry about things too much, it's horrible. I mean, I went through a period of very bad stage fright, which came out of nowhere. This was like 15 years ago, after we'd had a good deal of success and everything. It just hit me at one time, and it stayed with me for a good few months, and it was the most terrifying thing I went through. So I know what that's about, and I know now how not to get involved with it, you know.
But here you are, in Ipswich, playing for us today on the programme, just you and your guitar.
Yeah, and it's great, and I love it.
You don't feel isolated at all on stage. I mean, you're the man, and you're responsible for everything, aren't you?
That's right, but the way that I look at it is that I enjoy playing, and I enjoy singing. I've got loads of songs that I know, and there's a few mates come to see me.
Good. Well, you can't ask for much more than that, really, can you?
Absolutely not, no.
And I understand that the audience are invited to, you know, call out for their favourite songs. Is that right?
They are sometimes, yeah. I mean, I've sort of scaled down a bit what I used to do on the tour, which is to get people up to play songs, and sort of it was absolute chaos. But, of course, what happens out of that chaos is that after I did a couple of tours like that, you begin to notice a pattern setting in, and that is that people get up and do the same things again. And so it sort of lost a bit of the spontaneity, so I backed away from doing that. So it's just me again. But, yeah, I like to get people involved.
How would you describe your sound then? People are obviously going to compare it with the Squeeze sound from years ago.
Yeah.
Are you trying to move away from that, or will you always sound a bit like Squeeze?
No, I'm not trying to move away from it. What I want to do is actually just carry on doing what I've always tried to do, which is to make music that appeals to me. That's the only thing you can do, and I think that is always a result of, you know, 50% of what you listen to at the time, you know, and that's very much the case with my record. It's influenced by some contemporary things, but then the other 50% is always the bedrock of where I start out from, which is songwriting, and that is, with me, is very versed in sort of in the 60s style of songwriting, which is what I grew up listening to, and which made a big impression on me.
Do you still hanker after another big hit?
Always. I'm always hankering after a hit, although I'm realistic enough to know that I'm not going to lose sleep if it doesn't happen.
Because you've had a lot of hits over the years, haven't you? You can't.
A lot of hits over the years, but not recently over the last few years. But, you know, that's not something, as I say, that I'm losing sleep over. You know, I'm really happy with the amount of work that I've done with Squeeze, and particularly, which I'm very pleased about, every album that we released in the 90s with Squeeze, from Play to Some Fantastic Place, Ridiculous and Domino, four albums, and I'm really happy with all of them. I think there's been a consistency about those that we didn't have in the earlier days, which I'm very happy with.
Well, it's great to see you back in Ipswich, even though you're a Charlton fan.
Well, you know, I have to say, I was pleased that if I can refer to it as you, went up, and And both Ipswich and Charlton are used to being lightly patronised by other Premiership clubs. And I think we're both turning a few heads at this time around. I'm pleased to see it.
And let's hope that both clubs can stay in the Premiership. And perhaps, the way things are looking, knock on the door for a European place. Why not?
Why not indeed? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would indeed. Ben Tilbrook, thanks for joining us. I'll finish with the new single, which is called Parallel Worlds, and the album follows sometime in the new year.
Yeah, March, April, don't hold your breath, but that sort of time.
And back out on tour to promote that?
Definitely. I'd like to tour with the band next year. That's what I'd like to do. So yeah, as long as I can arrange it properly, it'll be great.
Thanks for popping in.
Thanks for having me. Stop for